Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 98 for June 12th, 2018. And on tonight's podcast, we have WC Nix. How you doing, Dubber?
Doing great. Except for a little heat, everything could be wonderful. But I'm a big boy. I don't like the heat.
No. It is a little hot. It has gotten a little warm these days. It's funny thing is it's not even summer yet. So.
Oh, I know. It's only going to get hotter.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Also on tonight's broadcast, we got Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
Hey, man, I am super excited. I miss you guys. It's glad to be back home. But I'm with Big Dub. It's been hot, and we hadn't even got to the nitty-gritty of summer, so I'm you guys pray for me, and I'll do the same for you.
You got it, buddy.
Absolutely. Back with us again. He dropped out, but he's back. We've got Wes Phelan.
Sean, happy to be back. Thank you. Sorry, I don't know what happened, but I froze.
Yeah, that's okay. Right before we started, I accidentally quit my browser, so, you know.
Oh, so you made a mistake today, too.
I always make a mistake, but yeah.
Ryan, come here.
Yeah,
I did. Want to see something?
My email was the first one I've ever made.
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Also on the podcast now, we have the boss, Ryan Zeller, with a special guest. Ryan, who's this?
This is Ryan as well.
Two Ryans.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
So I'm in Houston. Oh, this is your first podcast, isn't it? And it was your birthday. Tell them how old you are. That many.
Five.
Four years old.
Four.
And you have a new baby sister, don't you, too? Do you know her? Tell them that you're her name.
Holland.
Her name is Holland. So I'm in Houston at Kristen Holland Hale's house for business. So I always stay with her instead of getting a hotel so I can see one of my best friends from college. So
there you go.
It's her son, and she has a newborn baby about 4 weeks old too. So well, take a night,
welcome
Karen?
Aboard, Ryan.
Take a night.
Can you do the frog sign?
Can you give us a go frog?
Do the frogs.
You give us a go frog?
You got it.
He's working on it. He's almost there. Ryan's helping him.
You got it.
There you go.
Yeah. Close enough. Good enough.
Say goodbye.
That'll work.
Bye.
Bye.
That's precious.
Oh,
God. Yeah,
while Ryan ushers Ryan off to bed, Wes, you had a bit of a technical difficulty yourself today. You sent out a private message to a member on the forum who was running afoul of the rules, and unfortunately, you kind of made a small mistake. You want to fill in the folks on what happened?
Being the internet pro that I am, I screwed up. And I still can't tell you how I did it, but all 50,262 members of KillerFrog.com got the same email imploring them to stop circumventing the profanity filters and to respect your fellow members. And
it's a good message, by the way. That's an excellent message.
Yeah, and I got like your email box, my email box immediately started exploding. People saying, "What are you talking about? I haven't been on Killer Frogs in months." So growing
it
up
is the off season.
Yeah. Growing up in a family with a Southern mother who insisted that I write thank you notes to everybody for anything, even if they held the door open for me, that sort of thing. I felt obligated to respond to each and every email that was sent to me, which is probably like 200 or 300. And so.
Was that all?
Yeah, I worked through the whole list. Well, I mean, I just copy and paste most of the answers. Some of them I did personalize a little bit if I knew them. But yeah, I've pretty well worked through the list. I'm probably through 280 of them. I got about 20 more to go, but I'll get them done before I go to bed tonight. But anyway, my mistake, guys. I didn't mean anything by it. You're good to go. Please post.
Well, and there was a second part to this story as well. Because my email as the technical admin for the forum is tied to the email server. All 50,283 emails, was it? That went out. Any emails that had a vacation auto reply or just bounced because their inbox was full, or they sent back a lovely email wondering what Wes was smoking, all came to me. So Within a matter of an hour, I had nearly 5,000 emails in my inbox.
Yeah, yeah.
Was your alert on your phone? Did your phone just start dinging? Like,
yeah, it literally did. It literally
still
did.
Thing, I just had them pop up. I was talking here, so they're still coming in.
Well, the problem is that I have Wes, because I've got an iPhone, and I have Wes on my what's called a VIP list. So anytime a VIP sends you an email, you get notified on your phone.
Right.
And I've got an Apple Watch, so it notifies me on my watch. And I only have a very small select group. But apparently, because Wes sent out this mass email, any replies that came back as Wes Phelan. So my wrist was like, it felt like it was just vibrating all day long. I'd literally take you off my VIP list for that, Wes.
Well, I deserve it. So anyway, I think I've responded to everybody, but if I haven't, check your email box. It's coming. It'll be there before I go to bed. So,
hey, you know what? It's a good message. It's a good reminder every once in a while.
That's right.
That's right. And it really was only meant for one person, and one person in particular. And it was my mistake. I don't know how it happened, but I did it. I own up to it. And I did the crime. I'll do the time. So anyway.
Well, whatever you did, don't do it again.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm never going to go through that. I went through our admin center to do this. And so,
that would be why.
Yeah. But right. It just typed in one name and it populated. But so why everybody got the email, I don't know. But anyway, my fault.
Well, Wes, you certainly reached out and touched everyone today.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to, we're going to switch gears a little bit. This is, baseball is now officially over, so we have reached the end of the 2017-2018 athletic season for all TCU sports. So we decided for this week's episode, we would all kind of reflect back and kind of give each of us, we'd kind of go through and explain what our favorite moments were of the 2017-2018 season. So to start us all off, Ryan, why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Okay. I'll start with football. This was the first year that I went to an Iowa State game. I had never been to an away game there and never seen their stadium. And so a group of us went, Rima was part of the group, and we got up there and I had contacted the Farbers. You remember little Abby Farber from when Boykin knelt down on the field and asked her name. So I've kept in touch with them through the years, mainly through baseball, because they live kind of up there near Omaha, and little Facebook message with the family and just kind of made friends through Facebook. I'd never met him in person. And so when we went to Iowa State, I just texted and said, I'm coming to see you. So we just made ourselves right at home, and we ended up taking the family to dinner after the game and just had a great time. I felt like I knew, I'm sure they were like, who is this stranger, you know? But we all met in person and just had a lovely time. And of course, we've all kept in touch since then. And we poke a little fun back and forth through the year with different teams. And of course, unfortunately, that game, they did beat us. But I tell you what, if any team was going to beat us, I was okay with that team beating us that one time. It was fun, though. We had our own hotel, and then we went over to the Iowa State team hotel. And I actually videoed the whole team walking in, and they slowly realized I was a TCU person, and the comments were really funny. And then their coach walked into the bar area where everybody was sitting, and some of the athletes were in there with their parents, and just did a lovely, lovely man and talked with everybody. And it was just a really, really neat experience. And then I will tell you, the next morning, went back up to the hotel, and Rima and I, we were up to some shenanigans. We walked past one of the conference rooms where the teams had been meeting, and they had the Iowa State football helmets on the table as the centerpieces. And I was like, man, I would really like to get a picture with that helmet on, you know? But I don't like breaking the rules ever. And I was like, I don't want to get in trouble. It's going to be horrible. Of course, Rima's like, I don't care. I'll do anything. And so we have pictures of us, you know, grabbing the helmet, putting it on, and doing the frog sign with it. It's all over Facebook if you ever want to look back on it. But it was just a really, really good time. The tailgating was fun. I highly recommend, if you can get up there, do it, because the people are just, they're really, really nice. It's a really good game day experience.
I thought you were telling me you stole a helmet.
We did not steal it. Oh, no. And I kind of felt guilty after we lost that I put it on. I was like, I wonder if I made that happen, because I'm so superstitious. anyway, but
all the superstitious fans come out of the woodwork after.
I know it was bad, but I do it all over again. I can't wait to go back. So,
oh, they're good fans up there. They really
gosh,
are.
Yeah, and the Farbers are just wonderful, hilarious. And it was actually, I think it was close to Halloween because I remember we went to eat afterwards, and there were people. Surely it was close to Halloween, if I remember correctly, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to explain the people dressing up as Star Wars in the restaurant. Just random people dressed up as
Star Wars fans. You have no idea.
You don't have any idea on that. Yeah, that's right. So.
But it was fun. So that's my first great memory of the year.
Well, that was a good one. Dubber, you're up next. What's your first fondest memory of 2017?
Ryan, tell you he got to be on the podcast. What? Ryan came over and I introduced him on the podcast. He loved it. Yeah.
While Ryan carries on a conversation with somebody else, Dubber, go ahead.
You know, mine's kind of funny. I mean, I love, you know, there's so many different ones, you know, with all the sports, but really and truly for me, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm way prejudiced to the football season and, you know, being a football guy, but I think my most enjoyable time this year was sitting back watching the baseball team, watching them just kind of grow and grow and grow and watch them at first and, you know, and just kind of watch, you know, I think if they just had another week, you know, the season, they were kind of turning the corner. And yeah. For me, you know, I mean, it's just been a long time, and I was fascinated with the whole season. I never really got upset, you know, with the team. I thought they, you know, played hard and stuff, but it, you know, you just forget sometimes how blessed we've been the last few years. And just to sit there and get to watch the baseball team from the first year to the end of the year grow and kind of, I mean, you know, that's just a fun time to me. Just the whole year, just watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a young team. I mean, it's, you know, and of course, I don't want to steal anybody's thunder if they had picked this for their top moment, but, you know, seeing how this team has progressed and then knowing that the same coaching staff is going to be with them again next year.
Yep.
Just makes it even more special.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
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 All right, Shannon, what do you have?
Well, you know, I'm like Doug, you know, I could easily pick football, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to my moments this year, because it's great seeing all the sports come to, right? You know, obviously, we're well-rounded in all our sports, and we're there, in my opinion, as a university that has our sports rocking and rolling. But I'm going to go with basketball this year. I'm going to go with the girls and the guys, both doing well in the tournament. Obviously, the boys are going 9-9. The girls went 9-9 as well. But as we well know, a lot of those games could have went either way, especially for the boys. And, you know, 21-12 overall and having a 15-3 season, you know, you can't – I mean, come on. Jamie has those guys playing, and Coach Reagan has the women playing as well. So I just enjoyed seeing them make the tournament, you know. So, you know, usually you watch football and you got to kind of take a break for a while because our sports, you know, you support them, but they, you know, they haven't been doing well over the years. But this year was exciting just to sit back and watch the play. And I'm not a big guy with even with the baseballs we talked about a while ago. That was interesting, but there was no surprises there. I think we all said it from the beginning when we first started, it's going to be some ups and downs because they're just a different team. But just to follow the journey of the baseball and basketball this year for me was awesome. I got to, you know, learn a little bit more about the coaches because I just don't follow it much because we just hadn't been doing well. And I'm a football guy. I'm not a baseball guy, really not a basketball guy. But to sit back and be entertained by what the basketball organization, the girls and guys are doing over there is pretty exciting stuff. And we're getting some good recruits now. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Both of them making postseason was huge.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Dixon's really, I mean, that was a fantastic hire to begin with, but I don't think anybody thought he was going to start off as hot as he has with this team, especially since this is not technically his team. I mean, he's still working with other recruits. So, yeah, future's bright there. So, hey, yeah, absolutely.
Exciting times ahead for basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's going to be fun. All right, Wes.
Well, I'm going to go with what Shannon said. I mean, I think the basketball team crossed that big hurdle this year, making the NCAA tournament. The next trick's going to be going past the first round and into the second.
Yeah.
But I have no doubt they'll get there. And it was fun to watch them. And, Jamie Dixon's a great hire. And we're getting close to having his team there, Shannon.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have – if you look at that roster next year, they're going to have some height.
Yeah.
They've got that JUCO from Florida who's, 7 feet?
Yeah.
And then the guy from New Zealand who's 6'11". I mean, that's some tall guys there, man. We're going to – and if they can play
– So talk about an Australian connection, because we're getting a lot of players from Australia.
Yeah, that was – Coach, that was due to David Patrick, the assistant, who now I think is at the University of California, Riverside. Hopefully – Jamie wrote down some of those recruiting contacts he had because he's got some good players from it. But, there's a lot of good players down in Australia. Not as many as here, obviously, because it's not quite as big a sport, but it's gaining steam rapidly down there. And there are some good players coming out of the land down under. But I also got to go with baseball a little bit, too. That's my sport. And I think the big moment for me was Coach Schlossnagel deciding to stay with us, along with Coach Sarluis. That speaks volumes. I mean, that secures our program for quite a while. And if you remember last week when he said there are probably going to be some changes coming in as far as the facility goes. So I think it's exciting to look for. And he'll use that as a recruiting tool. And I think our future is still very, very bright in baseball and all the sports. I mean, I think about women's basketball. And, you know, Coach Peabody certainly breathed some fire into this program and gotten it going. But it all started about 20 years ago with Mike Peterson, who came in and after his first season was already the winningest all-time winningest coach in TCU women's basketball history. If that tells you about anything about where the program was prior to his arrival. And he came in and then, of course, Jeff Mitty took over and then Reagan Peabody. So, you know, we've got a bright future in women's basketball and it looks great. And she's a great person, done a great job. And it's going to be fun watching him in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I had the NIT appearance by the women's basketball team down as one of mine for sure. Because, I mean, that was where she has taken this team, where it was and where it is going and what she's been able to do with the recruits. It's fantastic. You can't do anything but praise her for everything that she's done. But not only that, I mean, it's the type of recruits that she's getting.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, these young women are amazing. And good rappers, too. So, I mean, you know. Multi-talented, absolutely.
Multi-talented. There you go.
Well, for my first memory of 2017-2018, I'm going to take us back to the Valero Alamo Bowl.
There you go.
Great place. But I'm going to throw a curveball because I'm a band guy. And my memory is the Stanford band pulling a mea culpa after bashing Whataburger in a halftime show. And then Whataburger taking on the Stanford band on Twitter after the halftime show, offering them a free meal. And then the Stanford band apologizing to Whataburger after eating Whataburger after we beat them in the Alamo Bowl. So,
as well they should.
It was such a convoluted but a hilarious storyline for ended up being a pretty good game for TCU at least.
It all turned around after they insulted Whataburger.
Yep.
You don't mess with our Whataburger.
And the entire state of Texas. I mean, everyone glosses over that fact. They pretty much threw everybody under the bus, but it was the fact that they attacked Whataburger.
Yeah.
That was the last straw.
The energy in that place just change, you know?
Yeah. That the entire fan base just absolutely turned on him immediately in like 1 second.
Well, I mean, what do you expect from a team that's got a tree looking thing as your mascot? Well, what in the heck was that thing running around on the field?
It's the band's mascot. That's how it started. Yep.
I didn't know whether to give it a ride home or put it out of its misery. I have no idea.
What was it? Something like they had a mascot, but it was offensive or something, and they got rid of it and they didn't have a mascot?
They were the Stanford. It was the Stanford or something like that. First Native American. Sense. Of course, that's offensive. So they had changed it to the what are they now? The Cardinal or something like that? I don't even know.
Yeah, Stanford Cardinal. It's the color, not the bird. So, yeah, which is really confusing. So
the tree isn't even officially adopted, but it's still their mascot. But they never officially made it Right. It's always the band's mascot, though.
Yeah, it looked like some weird dancing Christmas tree out there at halftime.
Yeah.
Who knows?
They should have strung the lights and put an ornament on it then.
Now, well,
it would have been more interesting.
I'll go all the way back in football. I'll go all the way back because, you know, I'm probably the most excited I got about somebody was Ben Bettigo. Because, you know, I knew him. I told y'all I knew him. And,
I was hoping
that he was
going to. Yeah, I think you mentioned it once.
Yeah, I know. And I think I was hoping that he was going to live up to my hype. And he surely did. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for him next year. I mean, there's no telling how good he can really be. Because I think he's going to improve a lot from last year to this year.
Well, how about just keeping him? Yeah. I mean, just keeping him on the roster was great.
Now, Dubbert, is his younger brother, David is his name, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a football player as well?
Yeah, he went to a smaller college. Okay. He was kind of like Ben. Now, I don't know if when Ben came out of high school, he was not a very big kid. I mean, you could kind of see some athletic skill, but, you know, he wasn't a big kid. He really did a lot of maturing and growing once he got to college.
Well, maybe he'll mature into what Ben is, and we can lock him up and have Bettigo's at the defensive end for a while here.
It's kind of funny.
A lot of the really top prospects out of college started off that way. They weren't the biggest, fastest – yeah. Guys in high school, they were the most athletic guys, but they really kind of hit their stride and their maturity once they actually got to college. And that's seen.
Yeah, he started off at Louisiana Lafayette. Is that correct?
Something like that.
Monroe or something.
I think it's
Monroe. God, I mean,
he's something else.
Yes, he is. I'm glad.
Good family.
Oh, I met his brothers. I met his two brothers. Great guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, you know, that was probably it's at least starting out the year. That was probably the most fun watching him.
Yeah,
just getting to watch him.
Hey, it was really fun when he said, "I'm going to stay with TCU in my senior year."
Yeah,
that was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
You remember for a while they were talking about him being a potential number one round
draft. Oh yeah, yep.
Wow, I mean, it'd be hard to say no to that, but I'm glad he did.
Yep. Well, he stays healthy. He has the same kind of season this year as he did last year.
Absolutely.
He'll be there. So, without a doubt. Ryan, what do you have for your second favorite moment of 2017-2018?
My second favorite moment was when Reagan Peebles' women's basketball team beat UT at the Schulmeier. It came down, of course, to the bitter end, and it was just phenomenal. I mean, the crowd went crazy. The girls were so excited. Reagan, of course, all the coaches were excited. It was just, it was one of those moments. So it was really good. Can't wait to do it again next year.
Yeah, that was a great game.
We beat UT again in something? Wow.
Yeah.
This is getting old.
Stealing our coaches and marketing people.
Oh, let them have all the marketing people they want. You know.
Oh, Drew is good.
Drew's a good guy. But, you know,
I missed something. Drew's gone?
Drew Martin's gone.
Oh, man.
But if you remember when Eric Hyman left to go to South Carolina, he took four or five people with him.
Yeah, he took a lot of at that point in time, it wasn't a really big staff. But, yeah, he took quite a bit.
He took Marcy Gerton with him. He took Kevin O'Connell. He took one of the marketing people. And I think somebody else. We didn't miss a beat. And we're not going to miss a beat now. Donati will hire some good people, and we'll just keep going on.
Well, I'll say this: you mentioned Donati, so I'll segue into one of my moments, and that is Donati's first test of fire, keeping Coach Slosh.
Yes.
And Sarlos.
Mm-hmm.
You got that right there is his first major obstacle as AD, and he came through with flying colors.
We give you an A, Jeremiah.
And he got beer at the baseball game, so another.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
We give you an A+, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
All right. Shannon, what do you have for your second moment?
Well, I guess I messed up because I threw girls basketball and men's basketball together. But as I was thinking about it earlier, the Big 12 championship, when, you know, obviously we lost. But it was bittersweet for me because I had a chance to hang out with Keith Lee and Bobo and – Garner and a lot of the teammates, we're all watching the game together. And it's just that passion, that fire of us just wanting to be, you know, beat the hell out of OU. And the game, as you guys know, didn't turn out in our favor. But, you know, we got a chance to sit there and reflect on where the program has come. Back, you know, from when we were just trying to just win a game and get to a bowl game, and to now we're spoiled as old heads to where, you know, we lose a game and we act like it's the end of the world. But that's not where we come from. That's just, you know, it was humbling experience. And obviously we go on and we instantly start talking about next year and what we can expect and things like that. We just had a good time. You know, we were upset, but then again, it brought that whole, you know, we're already looking forward to next year. Let's see what kind of bowl game we get. And, hey, we're going to do this every year because we expect to be in some type of bowl every year. And just reflecting on that today, just kind of finding moments. It hadn't always been that way. We're not too far off it's a fresh memory for me, you know, because the program's come a long way and we've had a hell of a ride, and it's definitely not over. We want to see more out of our program. But just thinking about that today, as I was reflecting back on the text message, that kind of hit me today, being at a game in the Big 12 that we lost, but hanging out with my teammates and just feeling that locker room. That's the closest I'm going to get to a locker room. And again, being in Keithley Suite, to where we're just shooting the crap, talking crazy, but also just that love I had with the old linemen. It was awesome. So that's kind of what hit me today, and I reflected back on Big 12 championship, which we will win next year.
Yes, we will. Well, you know, you're right. We've come a long way. I mean, I'm back from the days, guys. I think I'm a little older than most of you. I remember the days
when
we were beat by Texas 80-16 or A&M 69-7. Yeah, hard to believe in it. You know, I remember when our expectation was, gosh, if we could just win four games this year, we'd be okay. Or we could maybe go 500, you know, and now our expectations go to a bowl game every year. And that's terrific.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. And the expectations of fan base has increased. It's incredible where our program is today. And really all this has happened within the past, 20 years, 30 years?
18, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really a remarkable, because it all had to start with more than a lip service support of athletics that the university used to have back in the 60s and 70s. And you guys probably know, they didn't give coaches anything. Our facilities were terrible. You had to just – it was like squeezing blood out of a turnip to get money out of the administration to improve the facilities, and the coaches have had very little to work with. Now they do, and it's paying dividends, huge dividends for us. But
I think we could thank Chancellor Ferrari for that.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, and went to that point. I know it didn't have anything to do with, but I have facilities on my list because if you guys think about it, I mean, you just said it. The facilities now that we have, we could be proud of. It's a big recruiting tool. Mm-hmm. And from baseball to basketball to just all the way around versus just football, we looked apart like everyone else. Yep. And before, we know it was not like that. And so when you walk through that place, you just feel proud. And there's places I still hadn't seen that I see in pictures from time to time. Like, man, that's awesome. The new stadium that's coming. So facilities matter, and it affects what we do in our sports world. I mean, it does. We're getting – say what you want. You can say it to the coaches. You can say this, but I guarantee a lot of it's uniforms, a lot of it's facilities. It matters.
It does. And I remember back in, gosh, I don't even remember this game. It was back in the 80s, I believe. You know, I was in Section C under the upper deck, and it was great seats about the 30-yard line. Those old wooden bleachers, you know, they were splinters you get in your butt all the time. But I remember all the pipe work coming from the restrooms upstairs from the upper deck, ran underneath that over the upper deck, and one of those pipe burst, and all of a sudden we've got water and sewage coming down within about five rows of where I sat. I remember that day, and it kept flowing for about half the game till they finally figured out how to shut it down. That's what our facilities used to be like, or standing in line for 30 minutes to use the two urinals or two stalls that were in one of the restrooms. It was just bizarre. And finally, you know, we've got some.
Well, speaking of urinals, remember in Daniel Meyer, you actually had to go down to the basement to get to the bathrooms. You go downstairs into the basement to get to the bathrooms. And that was just, that was terrible.
So
you could actually, you could actually slip past the guard there and go down to the locker room if you wanted to. You know, but
I bet those sinks in your bathroom took on two different. Didn't y'all have sinks in your bathroom or in your bedroom in Daniel Meyer?
Oh, don't even go there.
I know that's what y'all did. You know it.
Yeah, let's not talk about dorms.
Multi-purpose sink. Oh, I don't even. That's why that place felt so bad. Yeah.
Nothing about that.
It's not a bidet. It's not a bidet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's just not good. Not at all. Well, to keep us on track, I'll tell you guys my second favorite. I'm going to go back to football season, and I'm going to say it's Sean Robinson's first start coming out party against Texas Tech. Specifically, two specific plays that I think kind of hint, foreshadow, so to speak, of what we should expect in 2018, 2019. And that was, he had a 41-yard scamper. If you remember, he had a really big run, and it was a little bit later on in the game, and he kind of was running out of gas, and he may have been able to break it all the way to the end zone, but kind of ran out of gas, and he was caught from behind. But there was another one where he did it was an option. He goes to handoff. I don't remember who the running back was, so I apologize. But he goes to handoff. He pulls it away, and the center's coming right at him. And he sticks out his hand and literally stops the center dead in his tracks and scampers around and picks up the first down. I mean, it was just like, dang, this guy is big. He's powerful. He's strong. And that right there, that was one of my favorite moments watching him. And then, of course, beating Tech. But it was great seeing Sean Robinson's coming out party in 2017.
Oh, did we shut Tech out that game, if I'm not mistaken? Did we shut him out?
I remember the poor kicker. He was just he missed like a chip shot, didn't he?
Like yeah.
I can't remember what the actual score was. Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah. It wasn't much tortilla flour throwing that game. No.
Like, 27-3.
Yeah. Okay. And that, those last 3 points were like in the very end, you know.
Yeah.
It was miserable weather that game too. Remember, it was what's freezing and raining. It was just, it's never good weather there, hardly ever.
It's Lubbock.
So that brings me. So we killed them in football, and then even in our struggling year in baseball, we still beat them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and that was one of my other moments later on was the run rule on Tech in the Big 12 tournament. Yeah. How can you not? I mean, that's just awesome. Yeah. Well, were they like number four, number five in the nation at that point? We run ruled them in the tournament.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen, but it did.
Yeah.
Sure did. God, yeah. We were so close in that tournament.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, what do you have for your third?
My third, it runs a close one between tennis and volleyball, but I'm going to go ahead and go with volleyball because I got to know Jill Kramer better this year, and she was in school when Sean and I were in school, so she played for TCU, which is pretty cool. She is a fun person. I mean, like, you want her to be your friend because she's just fun to be around, and I started going to volleyball games this year and absolutely love them. They're fast paced, fun, electric. It's in a smaller gym, really nice facility, but it's small and compact, so it's loud. And I loved it. I can't wait to get season tickets this year. They're on sale now, so, and they're very affordable. So go ahead and get out there and get your tickets and join the volleyball club. And the second part of that story is that we were out at on Magnolia, you know, that new area that's so nice down there by the hospital district. They were having a festival out there one day on Magnolia Street, and she was out there with her girls. They were doing volleyball. They had a little net set up, and they were teaching the kids how to play volleyball. And I saw Jill. What?
Neat.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And I saw Jill, and I just yelled out, "Jill!" And she was just like, "Ryan!" I mean, she was just so fun. And I love that about TCU, that everybody just kind of knows each other. You know, a lot of times you're at some schools, and even certain coaches at TCU, you don't really want to approach them. You know, you just want to kind of let them do their own thing. But she's just so happy and appreciative. And I asked her, I texted her, I was like, "You want to be on our podcast tomorrow night?" And she was like, "Absolutely." And then she joined us the next night. So she's just awesome. So I hope more people go out there and support volleyball this year. It's really fun.
Yeah, she is great.
She's really excited about next year. And she's really excited about a recruit class coming in.
She should be. She's fantastic.
She's got a fantastic recruiting class come in, and she knew this was going to be a little growing pains this year talking to her. So you're right, Ryan. I'm excited for her. I'm excited for the volleyball team too. But mm-hmm. like you said, she's just a fun person to be around.
Yeah,
she is.
She is. Hey, Dubber, what do you have for number three?
Sheesh. I don't know. Any of it. All of it. I'm with Shannon in the sense that, man, I look back and we had such good years everywhere, you know, that I guess I could keep picking out one thing or two things. But, you know, at the end of the year, I'm sitting here at the end of the year and I'm just kind of looking back just thinking, man, it's just great time to be a Horned Frog. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is or what sport, you know, that it's just, you know.
Well, they're all good.
They're all good. That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, that's what I tell people all the time when I'm about to talk to them. I say, sheesh, it's just right now it's our time, it just seems like.
Yeah.
But I'll go back. I will say one thing. You know, Shannon said something. You know, it's fun for me as, you know, it's always fun being able to get back with you guys, you know, seeing your buddies, seeing your old teammates. And, you know, that's kind of where we congregate, you know, is at the football game. You know, that's when we're going to see each other and stuff like that. So, you know, all of it. I mean, it's like I said, I'm just so happy with the whole year, you know, even baseball, the way it ended up. I just thought it was a great year for TCU.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Wes, what do you have for your third favorite memory?
You know, I keep going back to the Valero Alamo Bowl and that game where Robinson dropped back and Jalen Rager just blew past every defensive back Stanford could throw up against him and caught that, what was it, like an 80-yard touchdown bomb? I mean, that you talk about beautiful play. That to me stands out among all plays last year. And he just – those Stanford guys didn't have a chance against him. And I cannot wait to see Robinson put a few balls in his hands this next season. I think we're going to get more of the same. But that's one thing that stands out in my mind about this past season in football, at least, is watching that was just a thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it was. That was special. That was a great game. And, you know, especially the second half. But, yeah, that play to Rager was electric. And there was so many good plays in that particular game.
Oh yeah. You remember, I mean, do you remember Kenny Hill? People got on him all year long, but he turned out to be a pretty darn good quarterback for us.
Yeah.
Pardon me, my dog's howling in the background. But that one play.
Yeah, I was wondering what in the world was going on.
I'm thinking it's my kids. I was like, what's
Shannon, come get your kids over here, will you?
Yeah,
not to let them play over here. No, it's my dog. He wants something to eat or something. But yeah, that one play, my God, Jalen Rager just blew past those guys. Kenny Hill put it right on the money and Rager took it home. It was a thing of beauty. And I want to see more of that this next season. I think we will. But yeah. I think our receiving core, when you take Rager and all the other guys, I think it's going to be one of the best in the country.
Yep. Yeah.
I agree. Go get your dog a bone.
He's dying.
Hang on a second. Let me get
him here. My ears ringing?
I'm turned, but I do want to pull out one coach. Coach Thompson.
Yes.
Our old line coach. I just think nobody understands, you know. I think if you understand O-line, you understand how good a coach he is. Yeah. And I think that he made a huge difference. We're going to get to see this year, you know, he graduated some good guys.
Yes, he did.
So, I was excited we got him. I'm excited we got him there for next year. I mean, I think he made a huge difference in the way we played offensively this year.
Yeah, we'll have to see if he can whip him into shape as a unit this early on.
Yep.
But, you know, I think he can. I think he's a guy to do it. And, my God, we have the size out there. That one kid from that junior college, what is he, 6'8", 330?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, all of our guys are like 6'6". And, Deborah, I remember when you played.
They look good.
We weren't that big. What were you, 6'3"? But, I mean, on average, about 6'3", 260 pounds. That was about our size.
We averaged probably about 275, but we were a big lad back then. Yeah. I mean, you know,
Yeah.
I mean, we were a pretty big line.
You'd be tiny nowadays.
It's just, you know, with all the equipment, with all the things you can do nowadays, man, these players, they just, they're bigger.
Yep.
This year, one of the moments for me, you know, thinking back on it, when I did the coin toss, I think it was the coin flip, or whatever. I was on already captain for the, one of the last games, I think it was against Baylor or whatever. And when I walked out on the field, I was used to seeing them from up, you know, from our suites, Letterman suites, and you see them, with, you know, sometimes you go to practice, you're there, but man, when you get on the field, you stand next to those guys. Somebody sent me a picture the other day making fun of me because they got me holding hands out there, and I look like I'm 5'9", you know, 5 foot nothing. These guys are all, even the, it was a safety, couple of, I mean, I the safety made me look little. I'm like, man, it's the safety. I'm a linebacker. And they texted this group thing with a couple of guys from TCU. You know, we got the group chat, but looking back on it, man, we're just they're a lot bigger than we were. And I thought we were a big club. I thought we were good sized, but we don't hold a candle to what these guys are looking like nowadays. It's awesome to see, but I mean, they're huge and they're fast. And I mean, it is what it is.
even our kickers are big. And I think all our kickers now bench 350 or better.
Yeah.
I mean, these are kickers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, my God, both be the littlest guys on the team.
I was looking at the lift-a-thon or the weightlifting deal we do, Friday, whatever they call it nowadays, but those guys are all safeties are lifting 400, squatting 500. I'm like, that's what I was doing, you know?
Yeah. I wish I could remember what Turpin lifted, but it was something.
It was sick for his size.
Yeah.
Same for his weight. It's double. I mean, it's like you have to like double your weight or whatever. He like tripled his, you know.
It was crazy. And he's like, you look at him, he's solid muscle, but he's like the Roadrunner. Seriously. Yeah. He's the Roadrunner.
Yeah, that was awesome. Cause yeah, that was actually, you were there posting that stuff, and that's why I was watching. That's why I saw it. Some of those guys lifting what they were lifting. I was like, that's crazy.
It is. And they stopped early. Like coach just didn't want him to get, you know, hurt. So they stopped way early.
Yep. It's awesome to see, man. Good times ahead.
Yes, it is. Reminds me when I was that age, you know. I could bench press 100 pounds, and you know, you get your calendar out. If I started on Monday, I'd run the 40 by Wednesday. So, you know, it would be.
I'm sure it was enough to do what y'all needed to get accomplished.
Yeah. And then some.
Yeah.
Well, for my third moment, I'm going to go a little more lighthearted. I actually enjoyed Ryan was mentioning the beer sales at the baseball games, but one of the things that I absolutely enjoy, if you've never been out to it, is the tennis atmosphere that we have, and with Roditi pulling out an open bar.
Good.
Yeah.
That's just
go to
show the kind of atmosphere that we have at TC. Not saying it's party atmosphere, but just the type of coaches that we have. Okay, all right, Shannon.
Whatever it takes.
We take care of our business in the class. That's all.
There you go.
That's all of that.
I mean, it's just something like that is great, because you know, in the past, you know, with like Chancellor Tucker, there would never been that wouldn't even been possible.
No.
I mean, you would have been completely buttoned up. I mean, there's just no way you could have done anything like that. But the fact is that we've got the right guys in the right position, and they're doing the right things. And not only that, but the entire administration trusts them to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And that speaks volumes. It's not the fact that we had an open bar, as cool as that is. Right. It's just what that signifies at TCU. It's just the fact that the coaches have so much flexibility and control over their own programs. And not every little thing is micromanaged to TCU.
Yeah,
and that speaks volumes to not only what each program is able to accomplish, but also what we're able to do in the future, and the reason why we're getting some of the recruits that we have, even with a lot of the disadvantages, like what we talked about with Coach Sloss last week. It's just amazing what we've been able to do with that, and that's just one little thing that I saw that was just like, man, that never would have happened when we were back in college. Just never would have happened.
No, we would have just snuck it in our tennis shoes or something like that. So
he did it in the right manner. He did it from a community standpoint. Come on out, a family standpoint. It was a good buzz. It wasn't just about the beer. You know, they had stuff for the families and stuff like that. So it was a tasteful way that he did it, in a respectful way. So you got to respect that. And it was more to bring everybody out. And if you don't like tennis, at least you heard the buzz. I don't do tennis, but I heard the buzz in our board meeting that morning. And it kind of caught social media, and it was going all over the place. So you got to respect that as well. And again, that goes back to what you're saying. They're doing the right manner. They trust their coaches. They give them that string to just do what they need to do for the program.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they brought out the food trucks, which was fun. And they also give away free popcorn throughout all the matches. And then they even bring out free pizza, and it was good pizza. So that's awesome. Because you know those sports, everybody knows the only sport really at TCU that probably makes any money is football, and then basketball, baseball, probably in that order. I really don't even know. And the rest of the sports, it's there for the fans and the athletes, you know, and just the student body, but the school loses money on those. So when they start putting in a lot of marketing and different giveaways, that's for us. That's for the athletes, the coaches, and the student body and fans, because TCU doesn't get much out of it other than they do get a lot of school spirit, which is priceless, honestly.
Well, and being more fan-centric over the last couple of years has really paid off. I mean, started at football because everyone complained about football. We had the guys in the yellow, you know, jerseys or whatever, not really knowing what's going on.
My favorite word was no.
Yeah. And we ended up to the point where they're giving out water on some of those games. You know, the bottles of water are free. And that was a huge change. I mean, if you look at everything that they've done that's made every single sport more fan-centric, it's worked. And it's been great. And I know Donati has been pushing that even further. Even going to, as Deborah pointed out the other day, getting rid of the temperature out in the baseball field. You know, being more fan-centric has been
exactly.
Yeah, I know. And the turquoise people are awesome. Like, they remember you, or they act like they do anyway. It's kind of like, you know, they didn't follow through with the Disney World theme. Like, you feel like you're the most important person when you're in front of them. So,
well, if you remember when we talked to Del Conte, that was the thing that he was trying to kind of make an analogy to, like where he wanted us to get to was the whole Disney kind of premise of how they run a theme park versus how we actually need to run something at the stadiums. And
I agree.
And it you know, the first time he mentioned that, we still had the yellow clad, you know, people running around and doing stuff, and we're all like, really? Yeah. I mean, this doesn't feel like Disney to me.
Yeah.
So, but it's gotten there. It's slowly but surely it has gotten there. So that's been nice. Well, does anybody have anything else? I know we're coming up on an hour.
Well, I hope Del Conte doesn't turn. Well, he probably will turn that Disneyland down in Austin into a Disney-like experience, but it's full of creatures and monsters down there anyway, and all these goofy-looking people. So,
hey, we lost another guy to Del Conte.
Drew Martin. Drew,
yeah.
He was in charge of he was doing the licensing. So if you wanted to do any kind of TCU logo merchandise, it'd have to go through his desk first.
Okay.
And, when Scott and I started the Killer Frogs store, you know, we had to go. We were working through another provider here in Fort Worth, and everything had to be approved by Drew Martin. And there were some stumbling blocks. He was a good guy. I liked him. Very, very upfront, very honest. And he said, don't send it to them first. Send it to me, and I'll approve it and pass it on to them, which is, if you've ever done any of that sort of thing, is a big time saver. So, you know, yeah, he's a good guy, but I'm sure we'll find somebody else to do that. That won't be a problem.
I'm sure they already have. I bet they had somebody in mind.
I'm sure.
TCUs, they typically promote from within, and I love that.
Yeah.
People that drink the Kool-Aid, you know.
So. Yeah, Drew was pretty good with as a gatekeeper for the IP, the intellectual property, and all the licensing. He was great to work with, because when he had problems trying to get the stuff approved, you know, he was very receptive and very quick to get back to you. And it wasn't like, you know, it took 2 weeks and then finally you get a reply back. Yeah. He was pretty quick. So, I think a lot of that is just, you know, I'm sure the apparatus, so to speak, has already been put in place. So whoever they put in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to fit in just fine.
I think they'll slide right in. You wouldn't be thinking about the old Rectum Tech t-shirt, would you?
No. That's a story for another time.
Y'all didn't get permission for that one, I bet.
No.
Permission? No. No. This was before brother. Asking for permission. This was more about asking for forgiveness.
Yes. That was your brother did that.
Yes. I've still got one, by the way, if somebody wants to buy it. So
I'm glad you do. I'm glad somebody does. I never got mine, but yeah.
I got one if you want one.
I will gladly take one because that was hilarious.
We were at a game that, in fact, I think it was a Tech game, and I got this text, and it's from Drew Martin or CLC, which does the licensing. It said, cease and desist. I said, hey, Scotty, look at this. He goes, oh, man, we got to shut it down. I said, pray so.
Okay, so since we're talking about this, let's explain exactly what it is that we're discussing. So a couple of years back, Scott Hicks had this great idea.
You want me to get the t-shirt to show it?
Yes. Well,
yeah, if you can grab it while we put it for those of you who are watching
also,
on YouTube.
On the Killer Frogs website, the Facebook section, there's a picture of Scotty in it.
At the State of the Frogdom. Yeah,
it was four or 5 years ago now, but it was at Tech on that Thursday night game.
Yep.
I was there because I couldn't. I was like, Scotty, I don't want to wear this. I don't care. You're wearing it. And so I wore it.
I think it's wonderful. Look, we're still talking about it today. It's a memory.
Yep.
So a couple of weeks before he introduces this shirt, I get a phone call from him and he goes, Sean, buddy, I need some help. I'm like, okay. He goes, I need you to design a t-shirt for me. I'm thinking,
I don't want to go to jail.
Well, what do you want? And he explains, back it up a little bit, Wes, back it up a little bit because you can't quite see all of it. All right. So he explains, for those of you who are on the live feed, say something, Wes, so everyone sees it on the big picture.
Hey, here it is.
So what he explains to me is that he wants to have a shirt that says Rectum Tech. and if you thought maybe you heard me wrong, no, you didn't. No. Rectum Tech. As in, like, I'm going in for a prostate exam. And that's how he explained it to me. He wanted the Texas Tech Raider to give himself his own prostate exam.
Wow.
Up close and personal. And so I was like, I was like, first of all, I don't know if I have time to work on this, but I'll send you some ideas. I sent him a couple ideas, and eventually he had gotten another artist to do it because I was just wrapped up with school stuff. And he introduces this shirt at the State of the Frogdom with Del Conte and all the other coaches sitting in there.
And Del Conte just kind of goes.
Oh. Yeah, Del Conte just has to look on his face like, oh, crap.
Yeah, there was.
You got me. He wasn't scared.
No.
And he didn't get the cease and desist on that day. It was much later. It wasn't at that particular point in time. But,
you know, I don't know how many we had printed up, and we really actually didn't sell all that many. And Scotty, I think, ended up just taking however many boxes we had left down to the fraternity area and said, hey, who wants free t-shirts? And he just passed them out to all the people.
Of course, he knew what he was doing there. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they would wear them, and they did.
Oh yeah.
So
we got shut down quickly for that one. So
it was a good shirt.
It was a great shirt.
Awesome.
I've got one right here in XL if anybody wants it. So
double XL.
No, just a single.
But you've seen what Shannon's been lifting lately at the gym. Double XL for those guns, man.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you what.
Those arms aren't going to fit in an XL.
No, those arms ain't cut. More than the arms.
Well,
you've been eating at your friend's restaurant a little too much, have you, Shannon?
He's popping those 5-pound weights around.
No, I was saying you've been eating at your friend's restaurant a little too much, have you?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Has Hawthorne got his place open yet?
No, I'm talking about the other guy in Hearst.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you go down there yet?
I have. It was very good.
I'm telling you, it's a place you don't get every day. If you do, man, you're gonna be in bad trouble.
Yeah.
Is it barbecue?
Kind of soul food.
Soul food, barbecue, ooh, all that stuff. But it's, yeah, it's those places that put you on your back. You can't go back to work and expect anything done.
That potato salad was amazing. That southern potato salad.
Yeah. I'll should be open on 7th Street. They've been working on that the barbecue spot, so I'm waiting for that. But I know he's going to be open before the season starts. So
good.
They already be open.
Talk about Hawthorne?
Yeah, down on 7th Street with the barbecue spots. I know that's what he's been working on. I think they're open. I hadn't spoke to him in a while, but I'm going to swing by there. I'm going to be in Fort Worth this week, so I'm going to just see if they're open. All that right, potato salad is awesome.
Check out the brisket for me.
Yeah. We'll get you taken care of.
My there you go. There you go, buddy.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. Well, with that, I think we've come to the end of our podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's been listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can pretty much find us anywhere podcasts are found. You can also find us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs, or you can find us on YouTube or Facebook. Just go ahead and search for Killer Frogs. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads, and also check out frogswire.com for the latest TCU news. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's time we all get our frogs up and say,
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
All right, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Have a good night. Good bit. Yeah. Good seeing you guys again.
Yeah, I know.
Glad to have you back finally.
Yes, indeed, man. I'm telling you, this track life is brutal.
Is it about over, or you still got the whole summer to go on?
Well, we just qualified. We just ran district this past weekend, yeah, and both my girls qualified. So now we got to take the show to Abilene, Texas at the end of the month.
Yep.
And if they qualify, we'll go to Iowa and run in Drake Stadium for nationals. So
wow, that'd be great.
It's a long, and that's over the week, August 1st weekend. So
I saw your daughter her name Sky. Is that right? She
Skylar. She's my beast.
She won her event.
She won. We just put an 800. She's first overall, and wow, then she's second in the 200 and the 4x4. So.
Wow.
It's been a great ride. But we're in the heat from, that morning to 7 at night. So it's a beat down.
So like mother, like daughter, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to take any of that credit. I'm just a supporter.